Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Out of the corner, finds a man, far circle shot, scores, and there is the big man, showing us that this game has indeed been a lovely fit for him.
Good start to the Prospects Challenge for Radim Mertke and the Sabres. Unfortunately, no wins along the way over the course of three games in 4 days as we now get set for the main training camp, which begins on Wednesday right here at KeyBank Center. Almost 80 degrees outside, definitely not that inside. Scarves are no longer optional for me. They might be a permanent fixture on Sabres Live with Marty. I'm Brian. We're going to talk a lot about goaltending across the NHL today.
Yes.
But we must talk a little bit about what transpired this weekend for the Sabres, and more importantly, what it may mean for some individuals going into main camp as they report tomorrow.
So it was interesting, Duffer, because yesterday I was not at the Prospect Challenge game. I was out at Country Club of Buffalo with the Sabres Foundation golf tournament. But that was the talking point, right? After Friday and Saturday games, Sunday the Sabres had no games, and then they were playing on Monday. So, you know, I stopped to chat with Eric Staal and stopped to chat with Kevin Adams and others and Seth Appert and Lindy Ruff and, you know, kind of talking about the Prospect Challenge and who stood out. And look, it's easy to pile on and say, oh, well, you know, Isaac Roseanne and Noah Ostlund and Constellanius. And we talked about them for days, maybe even weeks leading up to the Prospect Challenge. But for me, it's more about the positive. Okay, who stood out? And I think that the USHL line of Kaharchik, Rosinski, and Novotny stood out. Mertke stood out. I thought the defense, Laberge stood out, and Novikov and Sevi Komarov. So there was some guys that stood out, but it wasn't the guys that people wanted to see standing out and dominating and then going into camp with the vibes feeling good, right? But that's okay. It's like a reset now. Camp is going to start. It's a reset. If you're Roseanne and Constellanius and Ostlund, you're like, okay, it wasn't great during Prospect Challenge, but that's just one thing. Like, can you just make a bigger step forward? I think that was what the talk was even before the third game was played yesterday.
Lanius had a very noticeably strong second period yesterday. Mm-hmm. Ostlund's Ostlund. Like, I think his energy and smarts, even if unproductive on the overall score sheet, like the three games combined, I don't think there's much to quibble over with his game. I think I don't know whether Roseanne would be disappointed. I would think that Anton Wahlberg might have been frustrated by his lack of production based on the opportunities that he had. And again, when you speak of opportunity, it's the fact that the coach literally lined up the returning Amerks to load up on a top line, whether it was Wahlberg, Austlin, Roseanne, or at times Wahlberg, Hellenius, Roseanne, Wahlberg, Hellenius, Austlin. Like, Marty, the crazy part, which is completely irrelevant because it was just a prospects challenge featuring three exhibition games that did not result in anybody hoisting a trophy. It's just exhibition games, right? But the hardest part to believe was that Buffalo was getting the majority of the power plays.
Yeah.
They basically couldn't buy a power play goal. And every time there was the other team getting the opportunity, boom, instantly in the back of the net. It was the deciding factor in all three games, in tie games, where it went sideways when the penalty kill allowed a goal. And it was just, again, it is what it is. It's three games that are now parked forever, likely never to be brought up again. And we have camp starting tomorrow.
Could be brought up again and in a positive way. Like, if for all of a sudden you have Consolanius in main camp, like really turned it up, like not just one level, but three or four levels. And you're like, well, he got the message. Like, he kind of regrouped himself between the Monday game. And I know today they were on the ice. Tomorrow they're off the ice. They're doing medicals. And then Thursday is the first team practices. But there's a couple of days for those guys to be able to say, hey, I'm gonna reset here. And so it could be talked about in that sense. I don't think that you're gonna go about saying, oh, I remember in 25, like summer prospect challenge where Roseanne, no, it's not gonna be about that. Now, we can talk about Radim Mirka and his, and because the power play, as you mentioned, wasn't doing much, and there was no production, he got put on the second power play, on the first power play unit the second game. So I think that there's some positive there. So we can talk about that. But when it comes to the other guys, you move on. Is it disappointing? A little bit. But is it understandable? Okay. It's three games. And it's three games in 4 days that, maybe you didn't get as much prep time for it that you would have liked.
Right. But I would never say that because all five teams had the same prep time and Buffalo was the only one not to get a win. So that's why I would never go down that path. Anyway, let's park that and get on to stuff that's more interesting.
It wasn't a hometown discount. It was a hometown distraction.
Boston
that's what
had
it
the
was.
Right idea. They only played twice. Everybody else played three times. But anyway, the position of goaltending has, I don't know if it's been the hottest topic for the Sabres this offseason, because to me it feels like the defense core was the biggest talking point. Would Byram stay?
Yes.
Would he sign multiple years? Would he go to arbitration? All that. It's settled. Byram's back. They added to the blue line in Kesselring. But I think now that we start camp tomorrow, I think the focus is back on goaltending. Because of what transpired within the past week, a report that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has a tweak with uncertainty as far as how severe. These are the reports. The signing of Alexander Georgiev, the fact that more signings happen around the league, and the understanding that there, as much as most of the dominoes have fallen in the goaltender position, I don't think you could sit here and say that a lot of teams are super happy with their goaltending going into the season. So that in itself, after Buffalo takes one of those players off the market in Georgiev, and with Carter Hart trying to work his way back into the NHL, I think there's a lot to talk about here, and it can start right here in Buffalo with anything you've picked up as per this topic, because right now we have Luukkonen, Lyon, Levi, Georgiev, with camp opening tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's interesting, right? Because I had to do a rankings of basically tandems for TSN last week. Go all the way from 32nd all the way to one backup. But really, does it matter? How much do you put in the backup position? And so what the Sabres are doing now, because of the tweak to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and then we'll know on Thursday.
Tomorrow we're going to know, because the coach and general manager are addressing the media.
Yes, but and we'll see on Thursday or by the weekend or by next week or whatnot, if Luukkonen is on the ice and how does he look and where does that go? But Georgiev is signed. Like, this is not a PTO. This is not a, let's bring an in, and then we'll see. It's no, there's a contract there. And I think this is maybe a way to also protect yourself, that if there was more tweaks or, you know, goalies being banged up in preseason and or the first few weeks of the season, knowing that you have the numbers and that you have the depth and the bodies to be able to fill that in. I think a lot of that is okay because Devin Levi is probably going to need another year of really solid experience in Rochester. But that could all change in training camp, and we don't know. But when you look around the National Hockey League, you're right. Like, there is a lot of teams that have three goalies signed and three goalies that could be in the National Hockey League just because that's kind of the trend that we're seeing now. I talk about a team carrying three goalies. I hate it. But now we're seeing more and more that veteran guy that can be maybe clearing waivers and be put in the AHL for a short period of time just because you have some question marks in the crease moving forward.
Let's keep it on Buffalo for a minute.
Yeah.
In your mind, what is the likelier scenario? Devin Levi earns the spot on this team to start, or Alexander Georgiev earns a spot to start, based on obviously a number of other situations that we don't have answers to yet?
Are we talking everybody healthy?
Well, no.
Okay, that's
that was kind of with an assumption, like, what if?
What if Luukkonen is not ready to start the season?
Even if not, like, the whole point of camp is competition, is it not?
100%. And Alex Lyon is in there saying, hey, hold my beer here.
Like, of course.
I got an opportunity too, and I was pretty good in the NHL last year, and I was pretty good the year before and pretty good the year before.
Right. So what do you think, if you simplify it between Georgiev and Levi, like, what is your hunch as to how the performances play out here in the preseason?
My hunch would be it's more likely that Georgiev would be putting himself in a position to earn that spot, to say, I'm opening night Thursday, 7 p.m. against the Rangers, opening night, I'm the starter, if there is something to be lingering with Luukkonen. And I'm not saying that it's a knock on Devin Levi. I still think that, number one, Georgiev last season at this time of the year was the number one goaltender for a cup-contending team, the Colorado Avalanche. The first month of the season really didn't go well, and then he gets traded to San Jose, and well, you're in San Jose all year, and this is going to be a tough assignment as a goaltender. But I think that there is something for him to say, hey, I am wanting to reestablish myself as that NHL goaltender that can be leading the league in wins, which he did with Colorado just 2 or 3 years ago. So it was like, he's
Marty,
there.
Prior to last year, Georgiev had the most wins in the NHL over the previous two seasons.
Exactly. Yeah. And then some people are going to say he played for Colorado. Yeah,
who cares?
You know what? He lost his job in Colorado.
Played for Boston. We don't hold that against him.
Exactly. Like. But he did lose his job in Colorado last year. Same team. But it was like,
well,
that's not
good
enough. Exactly. With Justus Annunen. But so I say, when I look at the plan, right, I'm thinking Georgiev to me would be a really good wild card, saying the reestablishing of himself, the experience that he has, the fact that he's been a number one that has played 60 plus games in a year. Like, there is definitely that, a little older. So there's more of a likeliness of him along with Lyon, let's say, to start the season. And then let's see what happens. Then having Levi come in and say, no, Devin, you're our guy. I still look at Devin as a really top end prospect that will have an impact on this organization for years to come. But there's parts of his game that needs to be worked on. And for me, you know, there's a fancy word. People talk about growth mindset, right? How you got to fail to learn from failing and recover and all of that. I think this is all good. This is all great. Growth mindset, development plans, all of it. But at the NHL level right now, it has to be result-based. It has to be, can you win games or not? It's not about, hey, let's bring a guy at the NHL level to see if we can continue his development. No, when you get here to the NHL level, especially with the situation in Buffalo, you have to be like ready for it. Not we're going to continue to develop you. And I think that's why Georgiev, there's no more development with Georgiev. He is what he is. He can be really good and lead the league and wins over a two-season span or lose his job, get traded to San Jose, and then have to wait until September to sign a contract. Like, he is what he is, but there's no development there. That's not like, but I think Devin still has development to be done in Rochester.
Another way, potentially, to look at this, if Luukkonen turns out to be fine.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. How would you envision the usage of all four of those netminders over the course of six preseason games, of which a 4-in-6-day stretch begins on Monday in Columbus?
It'd be very easy. Like, I look at the schedule, it'd be everybody would get a half in the first two, and everybody would get, like, it would be the first three would be like, maybe, let's see, Luukkonen is your number one guy, and he's healthy. So you split Luukkonen with Levi Georgiev with Lyon the next day, you know, at home against Columbus or vice versa. Then you have Luukkonen in Detroit. You have maybe Lyon at home against Detroit. You have whoever you think. Is Georgiev more likely to be in Buffalo or Levi on that October 1st? Then on the 3rd, you play Luukkonen again. So I think it's very easy. Unfortunately, somebody is not going to get a full game. Or maybe you have a conversation with everybody and you say, hey, the first four games, everybody gets a full game. So you go Luukkonen a full game, Levi a full game, Lyon a full game, Georgiev a full game, and that leaves you with two games, the two Pittsburgh game to kind of any your two guys that are going to stay on the roster get an extra game. So it's very easy, very simple. It lays out perfectly, but it would be an internal conversation as, what do you like better? If I remember being a goalie in the league, if they come to me and say, what would you like better? I would say, I want a half game to start. I just want to get in for 30 minutes, get the kinks out. I love that first half game. And I know people are like, some goalies don't like that. I didn't even mind coming in halfway in the game. Like I did that with the Rangers. Lundqvist played the first half game. I played the second half of the first game. It was fine. I come in. I got 10 minutes left in the second. And then I got one period. And then you kind of get that out of the way. You've got your first taste. You could give up four goals. You could give up no goals. It does not matter. It's a half game just to get going. And then you have a full game later. I used to love it. But you sit as a group and you're like, do you guys like half games? Or maybe you already have known that from previous experiences. Somebody says, I hate half games, whatever. But then you go to full games if they don't want to. But I used to love half games. It was like kind of... It felt like you were just doing half the work. It was awesome.
The truth comes out all these years later. Half miler, Marty Baron.
Yes.
it's so hard to continue pushing this line of questioning based on the great unknown here, which is just like, how serious are we talking with Luukkonen? But the other thing that intrigues me, now that there's four guys that could make, you know, legitimate NHL money, and what we kind of discussed right off the top of this particular topic, and that is other teams potentially still being willing to acquire somebody.
Like Columbus did, right?
Could any of these four be of value elsewhere before the season begins? And does any of that, like, I'm assuming a general manager has to think of all this stuff, but they also may have like a little more inside knowledge than anybody else. Like, you know,
Luukkonen is not right. Like, hey, if he's going to be a little bit delayed, but yes.
Hey, why don't you bring in Georgiev? Give him a run, let us know, and then we'll talk. You know what I mean? This is all hypothetical stuff, but I'm just like, everybody that comes to camp everywhere has potential value, right?
Well, that was me when I signed with the Islanders, Duffer. I signed with the Islanders late in the summer, and basically the conversation was DiPietro. Nobody knows that, but Rick DiPietro is going to start the season injured. And whenever he comes back, if it is late October, early November, December, then you'll have a chance to have played, and we'll continue to talk to other teams. Other teams know that we signed you with the understanding that you may be available at some point this year. And that was just, to, you know, same thing you're explaining here is that, you know, the Sabres understand and know maybe a little bit more what's happening with Luukkonen, with the tweak. And we'll find out a lot more about that tomorrow. As you mentioned, Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff will talk to the media. But there is that conversation always ongoing with other general managers. Look, the Flyers had four goaltenders. They had Sam Ersson, Dan Vladar, Fedotov, and Kolosov. They had four goaltenders. They just traded one to Columbus. But Columbus already had their two goalies in Jed Greaves and Elvis Merzlikins. So now they acquire Fedotov. But who knows? Maybe Columbus is like, we needed a third guy. Or maybe Columbus is saying, look, let's see who wins, because we've had conversation about Merzlikins being maybe on the trade block. So we're going to keep our options that way. There's conversations happening all the time. And Kevin Adams, I would think, would have had these conversations with everybody. No, we're bringing in Georgiev, but who knows? Maybe Lyon will be the number one guy and Georgiev will be in waiting. We don't know what's going to happen, but you have to have those conversations.
What are you thinking on the Columbus front with Fedotov and what it means for Merzlikins, Jet Greaves, and Fedotov himself?
Well, I mean, producer Jeff puts it in the chat, and this is awesome. Don Waddell, when he traded for Fedotov, he said, I don't have nightmares too often, but every nightmare I had this summer was about goaltending. So I thought we should probably address it. Why? Because Jed Greaves did great at the end of the year last year with Columbus, right? Almost got him into a playoff spot. They were in a playoff spot.
8 days in April. That's the documentary, remember?
That's a documentary. 8 days in April. But you have Elvis Merzlikins, who, man, 5 years ago was thought of, he's going to be the next big guy, and it hasn't panned out, and there's been a lot happening on the personal side, you know, losing his really good friend, goalie partner over there. And so there has been a lot happening, but they didn't have really a backup plan, because their backup plan was Daniil Tarasov, who moved on to Florida, and now they only had two. Teams don't like going into the season with only two as their options. They want a third wheel. They want a third guy that they can have on the roster, maybe at the start of the year, they can have in the minors. So they traded for Fedotov. I think that when I look at, man, I'm getting a phone call at the same time. That's what's happening. I got to put my thing on do not disturb. When I think of Fedotov and the Flyers, I think it was an experimentation that didn't work out. It just didn't work out. I don't think he was good. I don't think he was thought of to be this great Russian that was going to come over and be so big and take the league by storm. Didn't work out. Will it work out in Columbus? I don't think so. I think Don Waddell took a shot. Like, really? Like, I think the Sabres could have probably called Philly and said, hey, we'll give you a 6th round pick for Fedotov. But I think the Sabres did wisely to go away from that and go in the Georgiev route, because I think Georgiev is way better than Fedotov. It's not even a question there. So Columbus finds himself a third goalie, but I don't know. I think Waddell is going to have more nightmares because that doesn't fix their depth right now.
Well, the interesting aspect of the Columbus acquisition in reading their locals, it wasn't 100% certain, but whether Philadelphia had paid the bonus, but Fedotov's deal at just over $3 million a season comes with a $2.5 million bonus annually. So if that was paid already, Columbus is only on the hook for just over $700,000 for this final season of Fedotov's deal, which makes it real easy to give him a chance, have him play in Cleveland, if, you know, assuming he clears waivers. And again, the reports were that he is not interested in giving up on his NHL dream. So that's why they made the move, in the belief that if he doesn't crack the lineup right from day one, that they can work with him in Cleveland. So I don't know.
It's great. It's really great for him. Give up the dream. That's awesome. Keep pushing. And maybe you got to go back to the American League. Look, yesterday at the Sabres Foundation golf tournament, Dwayne Roloson was there. I remember when Rolly and I were here in Buffalo. Rolly was an established backup goaltender in the NHL. And then Hasek gets hurt. I get up. I get the job. I play more games. The next year, Rolly had to go back to the AHL. He went to, it was St. Louis's farm team, Worcester, I think, at the time. He went to Worcester, played there, and then all of a sudden he's in Minnesota on a new expansion team. And his career jumps right back up. But he went back to the AHL to reestablish himself as a good run. Tugnut did that. He was Quebec, and then he went to Portland. They played in 95, 96 against Rochester in the Calder Cup final. And then, boom, Columbus, you know, starts, and Rantungnut is their goalie. Like, there's many goalies that have done that with reinventing themselves, re-establishing themselves at the AHL level. And maybe that's the same thing with Georgiev. I don't think, like, if you start Luukkonen and Lyon in Buffalo, and all of a sudden Georgiev goes on waivers, clears waivers, he goes to Rochester with Levi. I don't think Georgiev is the number one guy in Rochester. I think you're wanting Levi to get 50 to 55, maybe games, 60 games in Rochester. Mm-hmm. But who knows? If Levi doesn't perform, you're Michael Leone, and you're like, listen, we have guys here that have to experience winning, that have to compete, and we need somebody. Maybe Georgiev gets that chance. Who knows what could happen? But yeah, for Fedotov, I think that could be he's 28 years old, though. Like, I mean, it's getting late early on the West Coast, as Yogi Berra always said.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, it's completely different situation in Cleveland based on them not having a Levi.
Yes.
You know, like, that's what Jet Greaves was. And that's why he's being given the opportunity to, you know, come in as, you know, kind of the front runner for the number two spot behind Merzlikins. And maybe it ends up becoming co-number one based on, you know, the potential for Jet. I don't see a situation where it's Levi and Georgiev. Down there in Rochester. I think if Georgiev proves well enough here, he's either needed here, which is why they signed him, or I think he'll have interest from somebody else, injury or otherwise, around the NHL.
Wanted
a hunch before training camp begins. That's my hunch.
But I agree with you, because so Elliot Friedman on his 32 Thoughts podcast talked about, you know, that, like, usually when a goalie signs late, you know, like this, it's league minimum. It's just like, or it's a PTO. But Elliot kind of suggested that maybe Georgiev had other teams that were interested, because the Sabres gave him more than league minimum. They went and gave him a little bit more money, almost to say, hey, we'll give you an extra $50,000, an extra $100,000, and we want you here, because maybe there was more of a need in Buffalo. So maybe it goes hand in hand with what you're saying, that either Georgiev is in Buffalo at the start of the season because there's that need, or he maybe plays a half a game or a full game in preseason, looks decent, well enough, and then is put on waivers, and there's a team that has a need that picks him up on waivers at the end of training camp. Like, I think that almost makes more sense. And then, I mean, this is something that we'll talk about probably more in October and whatever. And then there's the Carter Hart situation, right? Like, October 15, he may be able to sign. November 15, he can start practicing with a team. And December 1st, those players that were on trial with Team Canada can rejoin and play games on December 1st. So, but Carter Hart hasn't played in 2 years. So that's another wrinkle in the National Hockey League. If somebody's looking, like Edmonton or whatnot, apparently Utah is interested. That's what Darren Dreger reported. So insider, like, there may be some noise with, you know, when we get to October and November when it comes to that.
Was it Dreger or Chris Johnston?
It was both of them.
Are you sure?
And I read an article that says, according to Darren Dreger and Chris Johnston,
okay,
you know, the Utah Mammoth would be very interested in Carter
Hart. Don't want to upset the insiders before the season even begins.
I don't know which one had it first. We got to go back and look at the timestamp on the social media post.
Well, all this talk about goaltending, I know this, the visiting goalies don't want any part of this promotion and your input. We're seeking a goal song choice, and we want your input for the Blue and Gold games here at KeyBank Center this year. Pretty simple. Just go to sabres.com/goal song. We want to hear from you. We know what the goal song is going to be for the Black and Red games. This is for the Blue and Gold games. sabres.com/goal song. Make your submission today. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.